She pretty much set us straight. Now that you said Sister Same Day, but that was her. She's a cute thing, but of course everybody fell in love with her, you know, and she could do no wrong, and she could, whatever she said was okay. Nobody questioned her. In fact, it was like that the whole way through. Nobody questioned the nuns about anything. There were a couple rowdy boys, and we had one nun, I don't know if it was the fourth or fifth grade, and she used to get into it with them. But they'd have arguments. In fact, one boy took a swing at her, and we just thought that that was, you know, that was unheard of. That was like sacrilege, you know. And he did. He was, I guess, I don't know if he just a hyper person or what, but that was the only incident that I ever remember that anybody, you know, that there were any kind of discipline problems. So other than that, whatever they said, it was, that's the way it had to be. So you really didn't argue, and you went out for recess. All the little girls hung around the nun, you know. She was just the queen, and everybody, big circle around her, you know. I said, you'd think the poor thing could go and have a rest or something somewhere, but they'd always come out to the playground with us. We always had recess in the morning and the afternoon. And as I said, that's what you did most. You just stood around and, you know, just tried to carry on a conversation with your teacher that, you know, that you just dragged out from the classroom. But in the classroom, it was all classroom. It was no fooling around. You had so much to do, and you got done. We had a lot of homework, too.
Did your parents support the sisters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So they made sure you did your homework?
Oh, yes. And there was none of this, you know, me going home and saying that I got hit on the hand with the ruler and, you know, them going down. Uh-uh. You wouldn't dare tell them that you got in trouble in school because you get another licking at home. Or punishment or something, because if the nun or the teacher or anybody got mad at you in school, it was because you did something wrong, and you know, you gotta straighten up. And there was none of this going to the school and arguing with the nun or the teacher or the principal to tell them, you know, why did you do this to my kid? I mean, you didn't go home and even say it was done to you. If you got in trouble, you just shut your mouth. You'd get it more at home. No, it wasn't, not like it is today.
Did you see the priests much in school?
Father's Honor, yes. He would come along, he would come around to all the rooms. And one year, who came down? The bishop. The bishop come down, and he came in the classrooms. He used to come down for confirmations. And he'd come, and boy, and you know, you're on pins and needles. That was a big thing, you know. They didn't know you were there, but it was just the fact that, you know, they were coming to look at your room and look at everybody, and they'd say a few words, and they'd always give a blessing. And the Father's Honor popped in and out quite often. He was a dear old man. He really was. You'd go to confession, you know, and you'd have to wake him up to get your penance. Oh, yes. There in his later years especially, and, you know, everybody, they sort of accepted it, you know. Even sometimes he'd be saying his sermon at Mass, you know, and I think he just wanted to doze right off. But he kept at it. He was pretty old there. Everybody loved him. He was just a nice person. You could talk to him, and he was so easygoing. He never made an issue out of anything. He never got angry about petty things, and he was a nice person. Everybody did like him, and I suppose he got along good with the you know, the youngsters, the young priests that come down, and they all seemed to like it. He never interfered that I could see with them. You know, if they wanted a social life or if they wanted to get involved in sports and things like that, he let them go ahead.
You mean the priest?
Mm-hmm. He never, when we were there, we never had, I don't think he had much assistance. If I can remember correctly, he was alone until until the church, they started to build the other church. I don't think he had much help, like in his young assistants or that. They might have come in to say masses and things. And like you say, we always had a lot of masses. You could go to mass 6 o'clock in the morning. And we never had evening masses, and we never had Saturday masses. It was all Sunday morning. You go to mass anywhere from 6 o'clock to 12 or 11. And some of the lower masses were like half hour, 45 minutes in between. And the last mass was the high mass. And I think it was about 11:15 or something. Now they have a 12 o'clock mass or 12:30 mass, but they don't have that many. I think the first mass is at 7:30 now. But we had two masses before that, a long time ago. And he ran it, and he worked hard. He spent a lot of time, and he didn't do anything else but, you know, run the church. And he did a pretty good job.
When you were in school, did you go to the Shirley Temple movies?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Shirley Temple.
And did the class go or the school?
I can remember one that we went to. I didn't get to go to all of them because, first of all, you had to have there, you know, to get in. Yeah. And the theater was just right down the street.
Which one was it?
The State Theater.
Mm-hmm. That's still there, but it's
empty. Yeah,
it's
empty. And then they had a little, soda shop right next door to it. And later on, when we were in high school, then we used to spend a lot of time down there. But, yeah, I can remember, we'd walk down from the school, and there were lines and lines of kids. All the grades didn't go at the same time, but they divvied them up because there was a lot of people down there. So they did have this whole sidewalk full of kids walking down to the movie, because it's not that far. I would imagine it's maybe a half a mile or three quarters of a mile from St. Titus down to the movie. But there was one other movie they took us to see too, but I can't remember what it was. It wasn't the Shirley Temple one. But that didn't happen too often because it interfered with your normal schooling. So that was just on occasion they did that. But and as I said, there was no sports at the time. Now I think they do have sports down there. I think some of the younger priests, they'll sponsor basketball teams, mm-hmm. and things like that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any down there. The boys, if they wanted to, I guess that, you know, they did that on the street corner. The playground, there was a playground there, but there was nothing in it. It was just like an empty lot with chip on it, you know, tarred and chipped it, and that was it. And when there was, after a while, then they started parking cars in there for people that went to church. But there was no swings or anything like that, unless they put them in later. I can't remember, but there wasn't when we went down there.
You said you helped the sisters on Saturdays.
Oh yeah, this was a big thing. If they picked you to come down on Saturday morning to help them clean their room, that was an honor.
Did you get hot?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, we wanted to. See, they didn't pick the same ones all the time, you know. And I went down a couple times, just wash the mirror off and dust the furniture and, you know, dust the floor, things like that. You know, we didn't make beds or do the windows or anything like that. It was just general straightening up. And like I said, it was something. It was like an honor that you got to go down and help the nuns.
Did you get to know them a little better by doing that?
Not really, because they didn't stay around. You know, while you were doing that, they had other things. They had other things to do. And as far as knowing them, to be able to talk to them and that, you could do that almost any time. They were all pretty free with their, you know, if you wanted to talk to them, had something to discuss, or you wanted to talk over something with them, in most cases you could do it. They weren't distant or anything. I think probably today it's even more so because, like, you don't wear the habit and things like that were there at the time that they had to. You know, mm-hmm. this was something they had to do, and they were always. You would think that they'd be, you know, you'd think of them as a little bit different, but there was a lot of respect there for them. And I don't know. It's probably better for you that you don't have to wear all that. I used to wonder how can they stand in the summertime, you know, because ours wore those low. I don't know what you called them. Did you wear them?
Band,
yeah, and it was way low over there. And I covered everything here, and mm-hmm. It used to be hot sometimes. And then there was layers and layers of things on. But you know, you didn't treat them like you would maybe an aunt or uncle, you know, because they were like special, and they just treated them that way. Like I said, I don't know how it is now, but that's how we always felt about it.
You said that you could talk with the sisters. Do you think any of the adults, like any of the parents, felt they could talk with them too?
I think not so much then. I think they sort of kept their distance. I don't know why, but it seemed the older people would get uptight when they, you know, get around a nun or even mm-hmm. a priest, you know. I think maybe it was carried over from, you know, especially the ones that came from Europe. And their culture there is a little bit different, and you just didn't come right out and say what you wanted to a priest or a nun, you know. But I think nowadays it's a little bit different. I know, well, with the organizations going on down to you, they have the Christian Mothers, they have the Altar and Rosary Society, and the men have their, and I think they're in their company a lot more, oftener too, that they get to know them as people rather than a symbol or a figurehead.
Did your parents belong to organizations like that?
No. My dad, the only thing he belonged to was the MPI club, and my mother really never had time. She doesn't play cards, and, you know, she'd rather bake a cake than go out, you know, visiting neighbors and things. She'll visit people, you know, that maybe come home from the hospital or things like that. And my dad died 7 years ago. An aunt of mine came and lived with her, so she's really never had much time. My aunt was old, you know, she was old, and she had to take care of her. She died February, but my mother has people, her grandchildren and her children are sort of scattered, so she will go visit California or Texas, you know, and she'll stay there and make spaghetti and things for them, but... No, she never did. No, she never did much belong to any of those organizations. In fact, as I said, they really didn't have them. They didn't have things like that. When the younger ones start, like my generation started, and our children started to go there, and then they never had a cafeteria until then, and it was all volunteer because they couldn't afford to pay somebody to come in. Somebody must have got paid to set the menu up and everything, but we would go down in the morning early and get lunches ready for the kids. So, you know, it was on a volunteer basis. The mothers would go down. And then they started the Christian Mothers, and I said, then the organization started, and then everybody got involved, and this way a lot more got done, and I said it was more of a union between, you know, the people that were running the church and the people that were trying to help. But until then, you know, like, the nuns were on their own. They did what they could, and the priest did what he could. The men always had their organization. conversations, but
what would they have?
They have their what do they call it? But they've belonged to it for a while. I'm afraid it. I don't know why I can't think of that. Because they usher and they go away on seminars, things like that. Of course, now everybody goes. They have seminars for married couples, for single people,
yeah.
For you know, that was unheard of. When, you know, when I before I got married, after I got married, we didn't have that sort of thing. But I said, more people get involved, then more gets done. But I don't know why I can't think of it. Of course, there was always the Knights of Columbus, but they, you know, they have their own club. They have their own clubhouse, and they help out at the church. And I just can't think of what that other organization is.
When you were at St. Titus School, did you know what nationality the young children were?
You were to an extent, because in most cases, like, you got the English and the people that have been here and the people that were in professions, like the dentist's daughter and the doctor's daughter, and you know, while you knew they were little, they dressed nicer and they had nicer things, and their daddies used to bring them to school in the car and things like that. But as far as nationality and that, never, you know, you just never thought about it. You just didn't have to, and there was nothing to make you feel that this should be considered in any way. Everybody, as I said, there were so many of us, everybody got treated, you know. Of course, if you were smarter, naturally, like in every school, if you were smarter, you put your hand up more, everybody knew who you were, you know. And if you didn't do that, then you just one of the crowd. But no, there was not to any great extent. Although at the time, I think they taught religion, you know, as the Catholic faith being the only faith, which I don't think they do now. I mean, you got the idea that if you weren't Catholic, you were totally condemned. And I really don't think that they teach it that strongly now. But at the time, there was just no question about it, you know. And sometimes I used to think, like, I had some friends that weren't Catholic, you know. And I used to feel bad because because there I was, you know. I was Catholic and they weren't. And they were just totally lost. But it was really, you know, your religion was really the only thing that Catholic religion was, you know, the living in. There was just nothing beyond that. But as you get older, you question it. And I said, I don't think they really are that strong, you know. They make allowances for some people now, you know. I mean, at the time, Jews and that were just, you know, just didn't consider them as being people.
Did you believe that?
No.
At the time?
No. And I think I felt guilty so many times because I think, now I can't believe that this is the way it really is. And I think I had some guilt feelings about it too, but as I got older and read more and you know, learned more and was in contact with a lot more, and then, you know, they just sort of, but yes, I questioned it a lot. And I probably got in trouble, you know, a couple of times, but
you questioned it out loud?
Yeah, and of course I wasn't given too many answers. As I said, to have things run smoothly, you accepted them the way they were, and you don't create any waves, you know. So you weren't that vocal about things, you know. But I did, yeah. I mean, nobody really got that angry at me. They just didn't give me any answers. So it, as I said, it probably had to be that way. And at the time, that's, you know, they taught the doctrine like that. And until the Pope made the changes that were made, I guess maybe that has something to do with me, you know, wanting to leave the Catholic school too. You know, you're young and you know, you probably have some subconscious things that you don't really stop to analyze. So, you know, I just figured, you know, I want to go to Jewish school, so I went.
You mentioned Jews. Were there Jewish people in our group of them?
Oh yeah.
Where would they have lived?
They would have lived in Plan 6.
Were they Yale superintendents?
No, they were doctors or dentists or lawyers. Yeah, that's there. We had quite a few Jewish doctors. We had a few Jewish lawyers. And we had maybe two or three Jewish dentists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there aren't a lot of Jews in Alabama. There aren't. But there's one owned the jewelry store, Eggers, and the jewelry store. And let's see, there was Zelkovich was a lawyer. There was a few. And a lot of them were in business. They had stores, the little stores and things. Jacobson's been down here for years. And Herskovitz, I don't know if you know Art, he's a lawyer now, but his dad started on Plan 11 in a little corner grocery store.
Practicing law?
No, his dad had the grocery store, but Art was going to school. Art is handicapped a great deal, but he went through college and he did real well for himself. Art's still going there. And I mean, they were just accepting. You know, if you wanted to go buy a suit, you went to Jacobson. So what if he was Jewish? You know, nobody cared. At least I didn't. I don't know. You know, if it's never come to my attention that anybody. The Oliver brothers down there, they owned a store. And Wilcoff's, they had a little woman's store. And hey, if you wanted a pair of hose, you went and bought it there. You know, nobody, there wasn't that much racial discrimination anywhere in Alcoba until the blacks start getting rowdy. You know, they sort of taken over Plan 11, and they were always up on Plan 11 Extension, which is an offshoot of Plan 11. And when people start moving out, they start buying in, and a lot of young, now the older ones that were up there, even when we were there, they were wonderful people. But the younger ones came, and they got with this black power, and there was a big riot in Alcoba about 8 years ago. They boarded up when they just shot out, tore out windows down the street and everything, and that really started the demise down there. You know, there's nothing down there anymore. Businesses just moved out, boarded up, and you know, it's sad, but it was just I don't think it wasn't any of the older people. It was mostly the younger ones that did that, and one transit ones that had come in, you know, after the fact, because when we lived up there, and so they lived up there too. We got along fine. There was no problems.
What about at St. Titus Church? Was there any kind of separation of the ethnic groups?
No, not really. Mm-mm.
Were there ever any kind of services? You might have been in a certain language.
The St. Rocco celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they marched that flag right down to St. Titus Church, and then they had a big high mass. Oh yeah, they walked with that thing all the way down there, and the mass was packed. Yeah, we always had St. Rocco mass down there.
Now the Italians from West Alabama, would they have been celebrating St. Rocco?
They had a St. Anthony's. I'm sure a lot of them come up to St. Rocco, but they had St. Joseph's, I think, down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a St. Anthony, but there wasn't nearly as many people down there, because there's only one way in and out of West Alcoba. You know, it's just like stuck in a corner there. And we used to go down for St. Anthony. They did the same thing, but it wasn't quite as big. And see, St. Anthony, most of the people that settled in West Alcoba came from the part of Italy where St. Anthony was their patron saint. So they had a St. Anthony day down there. Yeah, they did basically the same thing, you know. But of course, they didn't have a club and anything. They didn't have an MPI band, although they have gone down there. You know, they would play for them.
Is there still an MPI band?
There was until, yeah, as a matter of fact, there is. Yeah, see, they moved the club. When the Blacks took over on Plan 11, they sold that club to them. And they moved the club on New Sheffield Terrace. There's an MPI club there now. It's in an older building. It used to be a bar, and there was apartments upstairs. And they bought it from the people that owned it. And now it's now the MPI club. But yes, they still have the band. In fact, they still have St. Rocco Day, only it's in, they just go ahead and they'll march around New Sheffield Terrace now, because a lot of the people have moved up there. But it's not the same thing, because like they're the new people there, like the older people that live there, they never did that. But they'll march through there, and then they'll take everything up to Morrell Park. If you know where that is, up on Plan 12. Mm-hmm. Jane Elling's that too.
They still do?
Yeah, as far as I know, they still own it, and they play the softball games, and they have bleachers and things. They just sort of confined everything to one area rather than have people go all over, but they have a lot of things at Morrell Park. But that's, they end up, they have booths, they have ethnic booths there, you know, and they sell things to eat, games you play and stuff like that, but that's where it is now, so it's really sort of, it's not the same, but they still keep tradition, you know, they still celebrate it.
I didn't ask you this when I was asking about your family. What were the holidays or special days like in your family?
In our family, mm-hmm. basically birthdays, Christmas always, we always were big for Christmas, you know, there was always the tree, and whatever they could do, they did for us at Christmas time.
Your parents?
Yeah, we all, and Easter. Easter was, that was, you know, if you didn't get anything else, you got a new dress for Easter, and new shoes. And you'd hang that dress up, I can remember, we'd get this dress, and always a new dress, and I'd hang it on the hanger, and hang it up on the by my bedroom, you know, like a week before. That was an Easter dress, so I couldn't wear it before Easter Sunday, you know, and all, if it was funny or something, you didn't care, you wore it anyway. And the new shoes, yeah, we always had something new for Easter. But,
way back, you said your grandfather came from Poland. Do you know why he came to Alcoba and brought him specifically here?
That I don't know. I don't know why he just landed here. I don't know. I can't. My mother's never said. I don't think she knew much about it herself. But why he came here, I don't know. The only thing I could think of is probably somebody was already here, mm-hmm. and told him there was jobs. You know, that you could get a job here, and that's probably why most of them came.
Who were some of the important people in Alcoba while you were growing up?
See if I could remember that. You mean very, very young?
Well, about in the 30s, so yes, you would think of that.
Oh, dear. I tell you, I can't think of... I don't even remember my mother and dad really talking about anybody, you know, that they thought was that important, besides like who was running for president.
Can you remember anyone they wanted for president?
The only thing I could remember is we had the newspaper, the Sun Tally, and we had the press. And the Sun Tally was one political party was backing one, and the press was backing another one. So my father wouldn't buy the Sun Tally, I think it was, because they were not the political party that he was for. And so he told me to go over and tell his friend to buy it, because we have to read the funnies.
Oh,
That was, you know, that was the thing on Sunday. You didn't have much entertainment, except for the games you played yourself. But Sunday was the funny paper, and oh God, that was terrible to have to miss the funnies. But his friend said he wasn't going to buy the paper because he didn't like our political party either. I can't remember who it was, but that we missed the funnies that Sunday because they wouldn't buy the paper, and I can't remember. But it was Dewey was running one of those years that I was growing up, but I just can't remember dates. It just escapes me. And I'm trying to think. I just can't think of anybody that I, you know. We weren't in awe of anybody, I guess.
One other thing is, do you remember where you saw the sisters besides at school?
I tell you honestly, no. They just didn't venture out from the convent. Whoever did their, you know, kept house with them there, I think she did all the shopping. And they had a housekeeper there. Yeah, a cook, you know, that would cook for them. I think they did anyway. I'm almost sure that she had a name, but I can't think of what it is. And they had no cars, you know. It was a long time before I remember seeing. They had finally, the Christian Mothers or somebody, one of the organizations had managed to hold things, get enough money together to buy them a little station wagon. And I think that was the first car they had down there. And that's not had been too long ago. They didn't themselves, I've never seen them drive. You know, I know they do now, but except for going home when they got some time off, they just didn't wander around town. I don't remember seeing them anywhere, but you know, in the convent, walking to the church front, you know, school to the convent, and not even like for walks down the street, because I didn't live down there, and they may have walked, they may have walked out to downtown Aliquippa or something. But it's very seldom you saw them out. At least I didn't. As I said, I spent, you know, didn't live down there, so I wouldn't know if they walked around, you know, went down the street. I'm sure they went out. You know, you'd see them once in a while. But other than that,
after you left St. Titus School, did you go to religion classes or catechism classes?
Yes. I did for a while. They didn't have that many for the older children. They didn't have that CDC, I think they have now.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time they didn't have that. I think one of the younger priests started that, you know, after I left down there. But I did go for a while. But then when I started high school, I just didn't go. I went to church on Sunday and that was it. But they did have religious classes for public school children. Whether they had them for the high school, I can't remember that they did. As I said, they didn't have the organizations that they have now. That they go to, I think they meet once a month or something, and they do have parties and things. But at the time, they didn't have it.
Did the sisters teach them at their home? Teach the catechism classes?
Yes, they did. They had more than one. Mm-hmm. And they had lay teachers and the sisters. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember now how many of each. But they had both at the time. But the nuns would come over and teach them too.
I don't have any more specific questions. Do you have something you'd like to add?
Gee, unless you can think of something. I could, after you leave, I'll probably think of lots of things. I really don't. I don't know what I can say that if it might help you, you know.
That's all right. You don't have to. I just thought there's something else you might want to.
I was trying to think back, you know, about just how things were then, and. I think I would pretty much covered everything.
All right, that's completely taken. Thank you very much.
Sure, you're welcome.